The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, every Wednesday, I've an In for Pat. There we have our regular item whereby Lisa Cannon, TV host and head of studio at DMG Media, goes inside Hollywood, and usually it's some obscure thing that I've never heard of, but actually she has picked my favourite actor. Michael Douglas has announced his retirement, and welcome, Lisa. We're going to start with my favourite movie. I've watched it over six times. Greed is Good. Real hard-ass culture war, entrepreneurial stuff, Wall Street.
Oh, listen, Ivan, I'm actually delighted that you said that because I'm a huge Michael Douglas fan as well. And I'm glad I got it on the button for you this week because he's just announced his retirement. And I think it's the perfect moment to reflect on this kind of extraordinary legacy that he's had. You know, at 80 years of age, he is a member of Hollywood royalty. And as you rightly said, Wall Street, 1987, the role of Gordon Gekko, it is one of the finest pieces of acting ever I have seen of you know, an Academy Award winner, directed by Oliver Stone. And as you may remember, if you've seen it many, many times, not only is the Greed is Good speech, you know, inspired by real life Hollywood tycoon Ivan Boesky, but it's also the fact that Michael Douglas, if you don't know this, wasn't the first studio choice for the role. Oliver Stone considered Richard Gere and Warren Beatty, and actually it was Douglas whose kind of last few films had underperformed that, you know, Oliver Stone said, let's give him a chance, and he knocked it out of the ballpark.
I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Oh, don't you just love it? I'll have to go watch it again on Netflix or whatever. And another one he did that was right, Lunches for Wimps.
Lunches for Wimps, yeah. Now, of course, do you know that actually Gordon Gekko became such a cultural icon that business schools still study the tactics? Isn't that strange?
Oh,
there you go.
Fantastic.
Seeing him as a role
now,
model.
The other one, my second favourite after that, is, you know, when she comes up out of the bath and you know when they boil the rabbit. Fatal
yes.
Attraction. And it starts off so romantic and it gets weirder and weirder. Tell me about Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, well, we're going back to 1987. You know, a lot of people think, oh, Michael Douglas, you know, his roles primarily with Romancing the Stone as well. You know, this kind of like 1980, I think it was 1984. But Fatal Attraction in 87 scared the living daylights out of most men and women around the world. His name was Dan Gallagher. That was the lead title character, but was directed by Adrian Lynn. And it was nominated for six Oscars, but it was actually inspired by a short British film titled Diversion. And Douglas kind of pushed to make this character because he was very much a producer back at the time, producing Romancing the Stone. And he felt that the 1980s shift towards complex anti-heroes was really something that wasn't addressed. And Glenn Close, her performance as Alex Forrest, was so terrifyingly good that she actually received death threats. Viewers hated her for destroying that kind of perfect family syndrome. And the original ending, you know, as you said, that Alex was there meant to be slitting her throat while listening to Madame Butterfly, but test audiences wanted revenge, not art. So they reshot the finale with her, of course, being shot and her jumping out of the bath. I mean, it's terrifyingly strange, I think, that the film in senses, because not only did Douglas say it was the hardest shoot of his life due to kind of the emotional intensity, he described Glenn Close as brilliant, terrifying, and totally fearless. I think we have to have a little sample of the script just so people can hear how scary she really was.
So what can I get you? I've got scotch, I've got vodka, I just like should be in the...
Cut the shit, will you? Just cut it!
I don't know what you're up to, but I'm gonna tell you it's gonna stop right now.
No, it's not gonna stop. It's gonna go on and on until you face up to your responsibilities.
What responsibilities?
I'm pregnant. I'm going to have our child.
Alex... That's your choice, honey. That has nothing to do with me.
I just want to be a part of your life.
Oh, this is the way you do it, huh? Showing up at my apartment?
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I mean, I'm not going to be ignored.
Oh, it was better than any health warning about married guys having affairs. Anyway, now, before we go on to the War of the Roses, Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone was very controversial. He was doing this murder investigation and he was the detective and he kind of fell in love with the suspect. Is that it?
Indeed, yeah. And Sharon Stone wasn't the first choice for Catherine Trammell. It was actually Kim Basinger, Michelle Pfeiffer, Gina Davis, all women who would have been huge at that time. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer had done so many amazing roles in Scarface, etc. Gina Davis worked with Brad Pitt and Thelma Louise, but they all turned it down. And Sharon Stone, a relatively unknown, fought for the role. And that interrogation scene, you know, everybody knows about. Michael Douglas had no idea that Sharon Stone wasn't wearing any underwear, and she herself said she didn't know the camera would catch it so explicitly. And the debate continues to this day. You can go back and look at, you know, old interviews. But, you know, Douglas had the final cut approval on the casting and he admitted that he was nervous about carrying out those erotic scenes and the weight of the movie, but called her performance brilliant and fearless. And the on-screen chemistry was real, but so was the tension. Seemingly, they never spoke off camera due to creative clashes. So there you go. It was a hugely controversial movie. Okay. 1992. I remember it well. But it was a good one indeed. Absolutely.
Now, yeah. We do have a clip of this next one. Explain the War of the Roses. It was basically 17 years of marriage and a real divorce scrap over the house, was it?
Indeed. Now, this is actually a biting black comedy. So anybody that hasn't seen it, I would urge you to see it. The footage is a little bit old that we're going to play now shortly, but it was actually directed by Danny DeVito. And it's the dream team. You've got Michael Douglas in there, Kathleen Turner. Of course, they did many movies together, All the Romancing the Stone, Jewel in the Nile, and Danny DeVito there. And it's how a perfect marriage descends into an all-out war during their divorce. But it's a satire. You know, it's materialism, ego, and kind of the slow implosion of loved turned loathing. Now, it's very funny. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. So we've a lovely clip here. I don't know if it's lovely, though, starting in domestic bliss and ending in absolute chaos. I think people can relate to it. Have a listen.
Oh, you're such an expert. I should make me look like a jerk.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm the bad person. Let's just blame me for this.
No. I think you owe me. After this many pretty goddamn good years of marriage, a solid reason. I worked my ass off to make enough money to provide you with a good life. And you owe me a reason that makes sense. So let's hear it. Come on. Let's hear it.
Because when I watch you eat, when I see you asleep, when I look at you lately, I just want to smash your face in.
Smash my face. Come on. You want to smash my face?
Ah, he is fantastic. And his father before him, Kirk Douglas, of course, was an iconic in the old black and white days. I remember as well. There's only me and George Oak remembers that. But Falling Down is another one, which I'm not familiar with. Just talk me through this.
Yeah, it was directed by Joel Schumacher, actually. And you've got Michael Douglas, of course, and Robert Duvall. 1993 here, and it's a psychological thriller and a kind of a social commentary about a man, William Foster, a.k.a. Defense, who suffers a mental breakdown in the middle of a sweltering Los Angeles day and goes on a massive violent rampage across the city. And the clip I've actually picked is called the Whammy Burger scene, where we can all relate to this, where he walks into a fast food chain, a kind of parody of McDonald's, and craves a simple breakfast. And he arrives just after 11:30 when the breakfast is over. And they say they can't serve him. And he snaps. And, you know, this is kind of the whole idea of masculinity and powerlessness. You know, he loses his job, his family, his identity. And it's a social critique as well, all explored through these encounters across Los Angeles that takes us through the movie over 2 hours. He's kind of a man who can't take it anymore. And I think for those when it came out in 1992, it was a relatable kind of anti-hero movie. He's this dangerous vigilante, but it depends on what lens you look through. Have a listen to this. It's very funny as well.
Hi, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a ham and cheese omelette and your wham fries.
I'm sorry, we stopped serving breakfast, but we are on the lunch menu now.
But I want breakfast.
Well, you can't have it. We're not serving it.
So you said. Is that the manager?
Yeah.
Could I speak to him, please?
Sure. Rick, there's a customer that would like to speak with you.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'd like some breakfast.
We stopped serving breakfast.
I know you stopped serving breakfast, Rick. Sheila told me you stopped serving breakfast. Why am I calling you by your first names? I don't even know who you are. I still call my boss Mr. I worked for him for 7.5 years, but I walk in here all of a sudden, total stranger, and I'm calling you Rick and Sheila like we're in some kind of AA meeting. I don't want to be your buddy, Rick. I just want a little breakfast.
Well, you can call me Miss Folsom if you want to.
Sheila, we stop serving breakfast at 11:30.
Rick, have you ever heard the expression, the customer is always right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here I am, the customer.
And then he proceeds to go psycho and does a trail of destruction. And then a cop who's on his last day before retirement chases him down.
That's so, Robert De Niro. It's fantastic. You know, it's kind of the a man losing his mind over his breakfast becomes some kind of a metaphor for the breakdown of society. But he actually said this, as well as certain other roles, was very difficult to portray. He felt he didn't like the fact that he felt invisible and betrayed as an actor in this particular scene. I think all of his performances over the years have been incredibly powerful. I think he's underestimated, I think, at times as an actor and what he brings to the table. Because obviously we spoke about Wall Street. Of course, he won an Academy Award for Best Actor. Fatal Attraction we went through. But even, you know, American President 1995, he was wonderful in that, directed by Rob Reiner. Traffic in 2000, another wonderful movie directed by Steven Soderbergh, and Catherine Zeta-Jones, his wife, is actually pregnant during the shooting at that time. And does anyone remember Behind the Candelabra in 2013, also directed by Steven Soderbergh, where he took on the role of Liberace? Absolutely fantastic.
Okay, I really enjoyed that, Lisa. Thank you very much. This week's edition of Inside Hollywood, paying homage to Michael Douglas, who has just announced his retirement. And it's a real kind of refresh button to maybe tune in to some of his oldies goldies. Absolutely fantastic.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.